Psalm 9, let's read the Word of God as it is before us. To the chief musician upon lutharlaban, a psalm of David. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name for ever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. Thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hegeon, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. My mind was drawn to the psalm earlier today, this morning, as I thought about what's unfolding or what has unfolded already today in relation to the Supreme Court of this nation. Most of you, no doubt, are aware of the process that has started today and the oral arguments that have already been expressed today. I didn't follow it. Some of you may have followed all the details. I was just looking at headlines this morning and then headlines about 30 minutes before I left here this evening to come here. And I don't know the full implications. I don't know all the implications. Obviously, it ties into something that we're greatly burdened about. And I'm not sure to what degree it may have a knock-on effect upon Roe v. Wade. Certainly, there are some that are hopeful, but again, hopes have been high at other occasions. But whatever the case, my mind was drawn this morning to verse 19, where we have the opening language, Arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail, let the heathen be judged in thy sight. And another matter I was to discover today, not just in relation to the Supreme Court, but something far closer to home, much more close to home, which I will detail to you when we come to pray. I don't think it will be right for me to express it to those who are watching online. I apologize, but some things are too sensitive to be broadcast. But it relates to one of our men and the church there in Prince George and what's going on. So I'll say no more at this stage in relation to that. But when I went over the psalm again, and I thought, how relevant are these words? And I want to just walk through the psalm very simply before we focus in on the text that is on my heart for you this evening. You can see verses 1 through 6, what we might say the position of the Lord is focused upon here. The Lord, in David's mind, ought to receive our adoration. Verse 1 and 2, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. He is focusing on the Lord. This is a good place to begin, especially when it comes to those moments when we are inclined to feel the struggle of our day, the battle that we face. Sometimes we get so surrounded by the circumstances that we lose the focus of praise. Everything becomes about the issue. But praise is comely for the upright. And David remembers that he has a call that is the priority of his life, to give praise to God with his whole heart. Don't miss that, beloved. You are called to praise God with your whole heart, your whole being, with an undivided heart. He wants all. And he has much to praise the Lord for, but also not only this adoration in the first two verses, but he sees the Lord as our advocate in verses 3 through 6. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. See, God is on his side. This is his focus. And we have an advocate as the people of God. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O, thy enemy destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. The memorial is perished with them. So his focus here is on the fact that he has one who will defend him, one who will stand by him, one who will advocate for the cause of his people. And the Lord does. Oh, never forget it. Never forget it. How precious you are. How precious you are, and your trials and difficulties as you suffer persecution for righteousness' sake. The Lord takes those very causes, and they are very near to him. He doesn't look on, and I've mentioned it many times, but it's one of the most encouraging reflections of our union with Christ in relation to your suffering and him entering into our suffering when he smote Saul there on the Damascus road and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul had not laid a finger on the Lord Jesus Christ. He had not directly attacked the Lord. The Lord had already ascended, was at the right hand. But Christ sees the persecution of Saul as a direct attack upon himself. As he afflicted his people, so he afflicted the Lord himself. Such is our union to him. And David understands this. He sees the Lord as his advocate. And he maintains our right and our cause, verse 4. So we need not be discouraged. The wicked have a temporary standing. They will not last. Oh, how different it is then for the people of God. Because not only what we might determine the position of the Lord is reflected upon in the opening 6 verses, but the permanence of his throne, verse 7 through verse 10, the permanence of his throne. We have here a permanent throne of judgment for his enemies. Verse 7, the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. He stands judging, perpetually judging over the nations. He is not asleep. He is not ignoring what is going on. And even as the Supreme Court judges mull over what is before them and have their opinions, God is ultimate judge. And oh, that men would remember it. There's not only a throne of judgment for his enemies, there's a throne of grace for his people. Verse 9 and 10, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. There's a place for us to go. Not a place of judgment, a place of grace. A place of comfort. A place where we can go at any stage, in any condition, in any position, under any affliction, any difficulty. We go there. And we come there tonight. Oh, child of God, understand that your burdens are to be made known to God. That he cares, he understands, And he will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And he will not forsake them that seek him. This is encouraging. Note then also the perpetuity of his work. Verse 11 through 20. The perpetuity of his work, we might say, is first a result of his memory. Verse 11 through 12. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. God remembers. He remembers decisions made and actions taken out by men. And he remembers the cry of his people. And that cry that goes, that seems to dissipate and may at times appear to be ignored, is not. It is not. Oh, he remembers. Those tears shed are treasured. They are caught and preserved. And so he remembers. He remembers. And he doesn't forget your cry as you come to him as a humble saint of the living God. But the perpetuity of his work is not only a result of his memory, it's a reason for future praise. Verses 13 and 14. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. So he's looking for mercy, God, to consider his present trouble. And he wants them to get out of that trouble and know the deliverance of the Lord, that he might show forth the praise of his God. This is the motivation. Don't get me out of trouble just so I'm out of trouble. Get me out of trouble so I can declare your wonderful works. Make sure your motivations are right. Don't ask amiss, child of God. Learn to ask aright. Let the motivations that are kingdom-oriented be in your heart. But also we see in this perpetuity of his work, it's a recognition of his judgment. Verses 15 through 18. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth, the wicked is snared in the work of his own hand. You see this? See that they plot and they plan and they have their traps and their pits and their nets and they have all of this and they get snared in the work of their own hands. And so they try to destroy the church and they fail. They try to quench the testimony of Christ and they will never do it. And they will try to get you down. They will try to discourage you. But they can't. They will. Oh, if we can just let time go, let it unravel, and the wicked will come to their end soon enough. That's a frightening thing. Isn't it a frightening thing? That you can plan and plot something and God turns that thing right against you. So it will be. So it will be. But that we come then to the end. Verse 18, the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. This was on my heart. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. That's getting somewhere in prayer, child of God, isn't it? Isn't that? I mean, how do you know that comes to pass? Arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail. All the machinery of men, all the attempts of men, all the ideas and the plotting and the scheming that goes on in the world, and it's happening every moment of the day, and they have their ideas and their future vision of how things should be, and they're discussing things even now perhaps as to what's going to be the outcome of this case and all the things that go on. And we're here and we can't do a thing to change the heart of one judge on the Supreme Court. We can do nothing to bring sense and reason to their arguments and their thoughts and to see some of the snippets of the things are said. It's madness. The ability to feel pain is not evidence of viability. I mean, this is the reasoning of men. And if we could get our hands on them, we might want to have a few words with them at the very least. But we can't. What can we do? Arise, O Lord. Arise, O Lord. I tell you, that's far scarier. That's far scarier than even every Christian in the nation having their will executed upon evil men. So I want to hear that prayer. No, nay, set that aside. Delete. The Lord wants to hear this prayer. The Lord wants to hear it. Arise, O Lord. Arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. That's a good prayer. Arise, O Lord. It's a recognition of his sovereignty. He's in control. They have their plans and their plots and their schemes, but there's one who is greater, one who's more powerful, and we call upon him to arise. Yes, it appears at times that he is slumbering. He is slumbering, not that he actually is, not that we believe that he is, but there's the appearance of a slumbering God. So the psalmists and the prophets, they often pray this way and they speak in this language because they're seeking to awaken, to alarm the God of heaven. It's time for thee to work. It's time. And it is time. It is time. It has to be time. Or, beloved, let me say, all the novels that have been written of a dystopian future, oh, they're not far away. An Australian friend of mine, actually lives in Greenville, shared last night, just before I went to sleep, I checked, and he shared an article from Australia in the Northern Territories of a manhunt for three teenagers. 15, 17, 18. A manhunt for three teenagers in the Northern Territories. What was their crime? What was their crime? Escaping from the COVID facility that they had basically imprisoned them in. And the boys had enough and they'd scaled the walls and ran off. And they're doing like a manhunt. And this is serious. You read the article, you'd think they had shot someone. Honestly, you would think there was great crime and it was, oh, don't worry, the community shouldn't panic. You know, don't panic because they were tested when they were caught and they no longer were testing positive. So the worry is that they might actually have come into contact with someone. And I understand all that's going on, but you see what's happening. These teenagers are held captive against their will over this virus. In Australia, this isn't China. We were watching the scenes just about 2 years ago and they were fumigating the streets of Wuhan and everyone's locked in and they couldn't leave their homes and we thought, glad I don't live in China. It's in Australia. Yes. Happens. It's happening right now. It's happening. I think, is it coming? Maybe. Maybe. Do you think the Constitution will save you? Only for so long. Hasn't saved the unborn for 50 years, has it? So what do we pray? Come back to the text that was on my heart this morning. Arise, O Lord. Arise, O Lord. I can't change these men's minds. I can't. You can't. We can't do it. Maybe the constitutional says, maybe electing the right politician. Come on, have we not woken up yet? Have we not woken up? Where are we meant to be? Before God, just like David, arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Arise, O Lord. Arise, O church. For how sleepy is the church that isn't even awake to see her need to pray in this way? Ah, at least David had some sense of spiritual wit. But we, where are we? Where are we? Come on, beloved. Where are we? Let's be honest with ourselves. We're sleepwalking into days that were just, they were novels 5 years ago. And we read about it. It happened in all other places, but yes, what people are calling now the Chinification of the West. Coming to a nation near you. Arise, O Lord. Oh, I don't say this to be down on you. I don't. I'm saying this to stir. Stir, not for you to think in despair. No, don't forget Sunday night's message. Don't do that. That would be bad. That was a good word. But oh, be stir. May we bestir ourselves. Arise, O Lord. Let's hear it tonight. Let's hear it in prayer. You can't change anything. You can watch the news all day. You can't do a thing. But you're here in the prayer meeting. Here's where a difference can be made. The Lord would have us, wouldn't He? Is that not what the gospel's for? Is the gospel not a judge of the heathen? Let the heathen be judged. Let the heathen be judged. Yes, what will they be judged on? What think ye of Christ? That's how they will be judged. And so let us declare His gospel. We have entered the last month of the year. We have opportunities to sing, to speak, to testify, to invite people to meetings and whatever. Let us seize upon every opportunity that God may judge the heathen and even put them in fear, that the nations, yea, our neighbors, may know themselves to be but men. God help us. We're going to sing.